Xie. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the fiscal year 2017 interim results investor presentation of Hallmark Golf Limited. On behalf of the company, we appreciate your interest and support since the company was listed in Hong Kong Exchange last year. The company has experienced a memorable achievement and recorded solid growth during the period. And today, the senior management team of the company are delighted to introduce the interim results to all of you. They are Chairman and President and Executive Director, Mr. Liu Jianguo, and Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Bian Weiwen. Now, I will invite Mr. Liu Jianguo for the opening introduction. Welcome.
刘总你好。哎，现在可以开始吗？可以开始了，刘总。哦，好的。那各位投资者大家好，这个占用大家的时间来开会电话会来说明一下这个半年度中报的这个事情。那么今年。 上半年度本金报收的这个业绩还是比较正常的，然后有很多这个亮点，也有很多一些这个不满意的地方。那么主要上半年的销售增长了 3.1%， 美国战略布局的开始已经出了一些成效，就整个的布局已经取得了一些成效。韩国呢持续两位数的成长，其他的市场。 受到了这个原材料的短缺 SAP 系统上线的一个影响，因为日本上 SAP 我们是找 IBM 去实施的，但是呢，由于语言的问题，由于这个结构的比较复杂，因为两岸三地是香港、上海，还有这个日本还有东京的公司和九成工厂，这实施上面还产生了一些这个难点。 所以呢，这个受到了一些影响产能，但下半年随着这个时间的推移，系统的完善，整个的影响会慢慢消除，啊，那么新品上市的时候，这个销售都会达到预期的一个增长，那么这个是上半年的这个一些工作的情况。那么公司呢还有一些比较好的事情呢，就是公司在上半年引进了几个行业中间。 比较有影响力的人员，那么呢，随着他们的加入，也会给通马的非球杆业务以及整个亚洲的本土市场的销售会带来更大的一个推动力，啊，这个是比较好的一件事情。对于未来的三年，公司会努力地按照既定的战略，提高针对年轻人群的球杆的销售的份额，并且呢会大力地推动非球杆的业务。 把本土市场的市场份额提高到15%，海外市场的份额提高到 10%。如果达成这些目标，那么，通马未来的销售收入大概会有2到3倍的一个成长。这是公司的一个概况的一些这个情况。也感谢各位投资者对通马的支持。下面呢，那么由我们这个财务总监丁瑞文女士。
为大家介绍一下这个半年度的一些具体的情况。好。谢谢刘总。So good afternoon, every investor. Thank you for your time to join this call. As I'm not sure if all of you speak Chinese, I'll switch to English for the sake of convenience. And I'm also hoping that you have already received a deck from either from our website or from our PR agency, where we have detailed the financial highlights and also operational developments for the first half of 2018. If we look at the deck, maybe I would like you to take a look at slide 6 first, since this is the P&L at a first glance. So on this slide, we are comparing the first half results with that of last year. I think the chairman has already mentioned that we have some great achievements in the United States, where sales grew by 186%, reconfirming the strategy that we have started to implement since last year. also, let's say the Korea sales grew by a high single, a high double digit, 16% to be exact, for the first half. Very interesting developments in Korea as we launch various TV campaigns, as well as demo days to attract more home fans as well as consumers. There are also some, let's say dark clouds on the sky. I think the performance in China and also Japan was laden by the raw material shortage in first half, in first quarter, as well as the system transition in Q2, which I'm happy to take your questions during the Q&A session. But gross margin has been very resilient, improved in spite of the shortage in barriers, improved by 1.4 percentage points for the first half, mainly because of the improvement in the gross margin profile of TW and also BZO. So these two products, for those of investors who have joined earlier investor presentations, would know that those products were launched since 2013, targeting the younger and also more avid golfer, which is also the high growth segment within the global golf industry. It's also going to be the growth enabler for HOMA going forward. So as a management, as part of the management, we are extremely happy to see the resilient gross margin improvement in spite of the shortage in the embarrassed materials. The operating SG&A came down by close to 4 basis points due to various reasons, scale of economy, as we have mentioned to you before, because 20% of our sales are basically fixed costs. So any percentage of sales growth will help us to leverage the cost. I think the continued cost improvement within the HOMA organization is also showing a lot of improvement in the first half, which will continue. And also because of the continued increase in the ball sales, the fact that, you know, the SG&A command of the ball business is lower than the club business is also helping us to improve the SG&A as a percentage of sales. So overall, the operating profit margin improved by 6 basis points to reach 15.4% versus 9.4% of last year. So on a nutshell, I think we have some improvements to do on sales, which we feel that the first half, let's say, setback or bottleneck or short-term in nature. But for the rest of the P&L, we are very happy to deliver the improvement as we promised you in the previous communications. And then if I can perhaps lead you to slide 4, I think slide 4 is basically a high-level illustration of how company is reinventing itself or evolving itself from a product point of view, from a geographic footprint point of view, and also from a distribution channel point of view. We have added towards the bottom of the slide the historical movements, let's say, of the contribution from Torwall, BZO, since 2014. You will see that 2 years after the launch, let's say these two product categories contributed to 20% of the sales, and now it's already up to 33.9%. In terms of the geographic footprint, I think for the last couple of years, we have been continuously grooming the market in Japan, Korea, and China, which was close to non-existing when Chairman acquired a company. Now these three, let's say, now Korea and China, together with Japan, which are labeled as home markets, they already contributed 30% of the top line, and it continuously growing. When it comes to the distribution channel, sales continue to gravitate towards the wholesale channel, which is a lot more efficient than the self-operated stores. So this, I think this continued gravitation in the mega store or third-party retail point of sales will help us to deliver even greater bottom-line improvement as we continue to drive sales growth. And when we can park for a moment on slide 5, slide 5 is a very high level of the operational developments that we expect to bring about in 2018. 18 itself is a year that we see ourselves further transiting ourselves on the basis of the integral vertical integration that we have, the very extensive self-operated store networks that we have, as well as the strong team of Hank Craftsman. We hope to bring about changes from an organization point of view, from a product point of view, from a marketing distribution point of view, and also from a new business point of view. So organizationally, for those who have read the interim reports, you will see that we have infused a few high caliber industry experts in the first half of the year to beef up the team in Japan, in the US, and also in Europe. These people come, let's say, from the industry with ample experiences in the non-club business, as well in marketing, especially product marketing. You know, Homa has always been a product-first company, so we are very, very particular and meticulous about the performance and also quality of the products that we make. But on the other hand, we are not necessarily the best when it comes to marketing. So for the first time, we have been redesigning, let's say, the products, the look and feel, to make sure that they look homogeneously the same Homa family product. We are also improving the design of BZL as well as GW to make sure that they do get the attention on the shelf space from the avid golfers as well as the retail retailers that we work with. We are also improving the marketing, let's say, campaign to make sure that the marketing claims are louder and also more focused on the consumer needs. So what do they exactly get from the products that we are offering? So we are bringing about a lot of changes on products, on marketing. We are also continuously exploring, let's say, the adjacencies to deliver top-line growth, as we promised you when we launched the IPO. I think the chairman just mentioned that if we were to be successful with the growth strategy that we are talking about, meaning that we will be improving the market share, let's say, of Homa in the home markets from the 8-9% in Japan now to 15% across all of the Asian home markets, and to improve our market share in the United States as well as Europe to 10% in 3 years' time, we will be becoming a 500 to 600 million top-line company, so 2 to 3 times larger than the top-line that we currently have. So we are seeing a lot of positive signs, and we are making every progress to make sure that we will stay track on the growth strategy that we committed to the market. And then from slide 10, this is the usual, let's say, presentation on our key financial indicators, where we speak about revenue, gross profit, operating margin, net operating margin. From slide 11, 12, 13, and 14, for the first time, we are adding some revenue analysis just to help you look at how the revenue, let's say, growth were driven by markets, products. I think on slide 12, I would like to especially call out the fact that revenue would have been, let's say, first half growth would have been 7.6% had we been able to deliver the back order that we missed. Those back orders were caused by the raw material shortage to a minor point of view, and also by the SAP system integration in Q2. And they are going to be short-term in nature, and we are doing everything we can to make sure that those orders will be clear within the month of November. Before we actually start activating the next generation of Beres, as well as the next generation of BZL. When you look at the slide 16, so this is again the usual slide where we analyze the SG&A, how they actually move between full year 2017 and 16, and how they move between first half 17 and first half 18. So you will see that we have continuously been driving efficiency from the employee benefits. We have also streamlined the back office operation and also supporting function in Japan in the first half as we build up the team in the US, Europe, and also initiated the SAP in the implementation. So those benefits will be benefiting us going forward. On AMP, I think what you have seen in the first half is basically due to the increase in sales, as well as the optimization that we are doing on the country axis. For those of investors that we have touched base during the annual report, we have mentioned to you that we have been conducting key buying factor analysis by country, where we look at, you know, buying factors that really matters to consumer across different markets. And obviously, they are very, very different. And with that input, we are reorganizing our marketing resources by country. For example, in Korea, we have been launching since July various TV campaigns because the Korean consumers look at TV as the only source of information. But for the rest of the market, we are optimizing the overall marketing spend to make sure that every marketing dollar sweats even harder than they before and also generate, let's say, very concrete, measurable return on the investment that we are doing. So on the rental, it came down as a result of sales increase as well as the continued effort to optimize the footprint. On the other selling expenses, it's primarily coming from the control on the discretionary cost as well as the consumable cost. So overall, we expect the SG&A to continue to decrease as a result of the cost optimization, as a result of the product mix change, where, let's say, the non-club business typically came out lower SG&A than the club business. So they will continue to show improvement, as you have seen in the first half. So slide 14 is a slide on the working capital. Basically, we are continuing the trend that we have been exhibiting for the last 3 years, showing improvement in inventory, in especially. So within the inventory bucket, we have disclosed in the interim report that the raw material increased, but the finished goods came down rather substantially as a result to continuously improve our supply chain. The raw material went up on an interim basis because of the preparation for the second half product launches. Receivable came down by 20 days. What you see today as 45 is more of a norm. I think what you saw at the end of last year was not really normal. It was mainly driven by the sales to Korea, which gravitated towards second half last year and therefore churned up the receivable days by the end of last year. Slide 15 speaks about the cash flow, gearing, cash on hand. So directionally, we continue to generate positive operating cash flow and continuously reducing our gearing. I think the gearing could be a debating point because it's very, very low. I think we have also disclosed the use of proceeds in the interim report. You will see that because of the strong operating cash flow and also the fact that we have not identified a tangible acquisition target, the proceeds from the IPO are largely unused. But we are not, let's say, shying away from the pursuit of the additional inorganic growth opportunities. And this is on the radar screen that the management is actively pursuing. The next slide that I would like to call your attention on is slide 18. So slide 18 is a high-level analysis of the four markets that we will be focusing on going forward in the next 3 years. It would also give you a better view of why we feel that in 3 years' time, if we're able to deliver the market share as we just indicated, we will be able to become a 500 to 600 million top-line company. So on this slide, you will see the characteristics of each of the markets, very, very different, the size of the market, as well as our current sales. So you will see that our market share is well below 10% in Korea and Japan, above 15%, but still, let's say, way to go in China. In United States, almost neglectable. So if you would just apply some simple math, you will see that if we get the things right, we will deliver the top line as we just promised you. And then maybe if we can quickly jump to slide 20. So here you will see what we see as our key and critical competences, as well as the movement in the first half when it comes to POS expansion. I think what's very worth noting is in Europe, even though first half sales came down, we have basically made a transition by improving the POS to 143, up by 131. So basically, by the end of September, we have got a very strong team on the ground, transited the go-to-market, and also started to penetrate into much greater and also much deeper POS than we used to have in the past. I think in Japan, the decrease was more of a seasonal decrease. Usually in the first half, the POS would come down because you don't see a lot of seasonal POS. And also it was a result of continuous reduction of less performing or non-performing POS, as we see. I think in the United States, you see a very similar trend in the POS corresponding to the developments in Europe, which is also reconfirming the growth strategy that we have been implementing since last year. So slide 21 are basically a few screenshots from a TV campaign that we will be launching from November onwards. So this TV campaign, it's not a TV campaign, so it's a brand campaign, and we'll be activated primarily with in-store presentation, retail presentation, as well as social media. So this brand campaign was perhaps the first one that we have done in the last 3 years, and it was made to redesign or redefine the brand on craftsmanship. We still feel that craftsmanship is something that really tells Hongla away from the rest of the competition. And these images basically shows and depicts, let's say, the origin of Homa from Japan, as well as, you know, the craftsmanship that we are dedicating to each and every product that we are making. And slide 22, well, this is basically a preview ahead of the trade show, just to give you a feel of the new products which are to be launched in the second half, so Berries 06 as well as Bizio. So you will see that the, let's say, the printed assets looks very different from the past. I mean, when you compare, let's say, Berries 06 with the printed asset of Bizio, they do look like the Homa family, the same family. I think we used to have sort of non-homogeneous printed assets, materials floating around. So for the first time, they look alike. And secondly, they are much louder with the marketing claims. So for a consumer and also retail, when they look at the ads, they would see, you know, what really comes out from the Bizio product. It's about the speed, about the distance that a young and avid golfer can get with the Bizio product. With the Berries, it's still the mastering of the craft, which the Homa is really named for or known for. So we are making a lot of changes. Those changes will definitely improve our in-store appeal and also consumer appeal, and therefore continue to drive the sales growth in TW and Bizio. I gave the example before. I think when you look at our product portfolio within the clubs, Berries is almost like the 7 series of BMW, and Bizio and Tour World is like the 3 and the 5 series. Eventually, I think 3 years down the road, we want the 3 and 5 to be the volume driver, bringing us the majority of the volume, whereby the 7 will be the aspirational, let's say, the brand-defining product, which will continue to remain in our product portfolio. Slide 23 is a few pictures, you know, from the demo days that we continuously to do, intensifying, let's say, in each of the markets, as well as the social media that we are generating, the brand awareness that we continue to generate. So for the first half, we've organized 1,600 demo days across the major markets, and these demo days were attended by close to 30,000 consumers. Let's say a good part of them have shown, let's say, purchases, which drove the sales in first half. So for second half, I think just to conclude 24, this is the list of things that we will continue to deliver in the second half operationally and as well as strategically. And I think before I continue on this, I'll just make a pause here and then open the floor for Q&A.
Thank you. We are now going to the Q&A section. If you would like to ask any questions, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Thank you. Hello. 第一位提问者是来自戴华的 Carrollton Line，
你好，您可以提问了。哎，好，谢谢。喂，我，你好，我第一个问题其实想请教刘总的，那首先恭喜你们的业绩，我是觉得还是不错的。那其实我第一个问题就是，我们刚刚都上市了差不多一年了，然后我觉得你们其实一个主要的目上市的主要的目的其实是想做一些并购嘛。 那我们现在一年之后，其实我们对这个方面是有什么 update？ 然后现在这个市场上其实还有什么我们可以并购回来的？因为我现在就是看到你们的净现金还是非常健康，有151以上。那如果我们找不到的话，那我们之后的计划是怎么样呢？谢谢。
OK， 那我来回答一下你的问题。第一个，当时我们觉得这个红马的发展的这个方向有两个，第一个是自己逐步的一步一步的做大，第二个呢，通过一些行业内的收购兼并，迅速的做大。这两条路呢都是可以走的。但是呢，有没有合适的这个标的，这是很重要。那么呢，我们不妨现在也可以讲，就是因为去年是确实准备在泰罗梅的并购路中间我们也参与了，但是后面由于种种的原因，由于这个标的物的这个一些具体的情况，后来我们还是放弃了，后面我们还是放弃了。那么这个具体的原因就不讲了。但是这样的并购的机会有没有呢？还是有很多的啊，还是有很多的。所以呢，我觉得这个只要我们现金在手上，这个并购的事情随时可以发生。我们也是一直留意着行业中间的一些标的物，不但是球杆的，还有一些服饰的啊，包括一些这个高尔夫专业的服饰的啊，这个我们都在看。那么呢，我们企业的做事情的风格还是非常的慎重和稳妥的，觉得有风险的事我们没必要去冒进，我们还是看中一个标的。对这个当时看中泰罗梅的标的的主要核心的东西是可以有一个协同效应，因为全球的网络啊，这个加上红马的好的产品的品牌。那么呢，我们这个并购的最核心的一个想法主要是标的物有协同效应，那所以呢，我们这个目前还也是在继续这个努力的推进这些事啊。那么除了这个并购以外，我们可能也会选择一些合作啊，比如说我们现在想把非球员业务做大做强啊，那么我们现在也是努力的在寻求行业中间的非球员业务的这些专业的这个集团和专业的公司来一起合作，做大做强非球员业务这一块。因为红马的非球员业务的这一块的增长空间非常之大，我们的配比太少了，只有10%。通常的这个高尔夫的行业中间的高尔夫的企业都有60%左右啊，所以呢，我们也会不光是通过并购，而且也会选择找大的企业进行合作啊。那么目前也有一些这个思路啊，有一些已经有一些这个线索和谈判在进行啊。那么我觉得这个并购是企业发展的一条路，如果没有并购，企业照样可以做大做强，但是稍微也得有点耐心啊。我的回答不知道说明白了没有？
谢谢刘总。那我剩下来还有几个问题想请教卞总的。So Veronica, I have a couple of questions, just to clarify on, you know, for a bit of housekeeping questions. I think number one, regarding the back orders for $800 million, I think during a call you did mention that it's likely it's going to be cleared in November. How much of that is of the back orders is you know, is there a split between the countries for the back orders? That's my first question. Number two, is there a gross margin guidance? Because if we're the fact that the two new series are going to be refreshed in December or January, typically I believe that our new products are, you know, higher ASPs. Does that mean we might have a margin uplift in the second half? That's my second question. And my third question is that for U.S., what kind of run rate are we doing right now based on, you know, the last couple of months? And do we have a visibility of the sales through? Because, I mean, I'm sure much of the sales that we're seeing right now are probably sales into the channels. I just want to see if we have any visibility on the sales through. That's the three questions. Thank you.
Hey, thank you, Carlton. I didn't recognize you. I was asking, you know, who was asking the questions. Okay. So to your questions, so on the back order, the 800 million, I do have the country split. So I think 1/8 belongs to Europe. And then the balance are basically Asian orders. And that explains why, let's say, Asia was showing a very sluggish growth, or actually decline, slight decline in the first half, because let's say Asian countries are typically the bearish product countries. So the bearish raw material shortage does affect the Asian countries. And secondly, when we are, let's say, activating the various activities in the U.S. and also Europe, we have internally made it a rule that, you know, to the extent orders cannot be manufactured according to the required lead time, we will prioritize the orders from U.S. and also Europe. So I think the bulk of the 800 million back orders are actually relating to Asians. So they are primarily from Southeast Asia, Japan, and to some extent China. And then to your second question, the gross margin profile, I think that's a very good question. In fact, we are very positive about the improvement that we are able to show in the first half, because they are solid improvement resulting from retail price management harmonization, as well as from let's say, go-to-market changes in the rest of the markets. For the second half, you are right that typically new products will come to benefit our gross margin entitlement. So when you look at the last 2 years, I think the second half gross margin is typically three basis points higher than the first half. So when you ask for the guidance for the full year, I think we will try to deliver around 60% this year, because last year we have launched some limited editions, so they do add to credit to the gross margin. But I think even for this year, we may not necessarily be able to deliver the same gross margin entitlement. But I think we should be able to show a 3% more or less, let's say, gross margin entitlement in second half. And that will bring our overall, let's say, full year gross margin to about 60% on a full year basis. And then on the sellout in the U.S., I think we are monitoring that as we do in all the other markets. I think the retailers that we work with today, they are actually mainstream retailers who are very, very cautious about, let's say, the sellouts. We actually, have reports that manage basically where we look at jointly the sellout on a weekly and also monthly basis in Korea, Japan. So all the major markets, we do have sellout control. The U.S. sellout has been extremely well. In fact, you know, I was on the call when I was down to Singapore this morning. I was on a very early morning call with the president of Worldwide Golf. He was telling me that, you know, they just inaugurated the Homewood Studio in actually the top location in the world. It's called Santa Ana Store. So it's on the East Coast in close to Los Angeles. It's the number one selling store, I think, globally for golf products. So we just launched the inauguration of our first studio, and he was telling me that sellout has been very, very well. In fact, you know, much better than they thought. And they see us as a different brand other than the other brands that they are creating, they already carry. They also see us truly helping them to build, you know, a sales increase in their store. So this is a constant feedback that I'm getting from all the retailers. In fact, you know, for most of the PGA and also worldwide stores, they are out of stock rather than, you know, overstock. We are, let's say, for this month and next, let's say, in U.S. and also Europe, doing a pre-book for the new products. So the pre-book will allow us and also the retailers to look at the sellout of the past models and also to gauge into the sell-in of the new models. So this is a very healthy and also, let's say, healthy and constructive discussion that's going on between Homa and its retailers.
Got it. Thank you very much. Just one last question to follow up. Regarding the rollout of the new products, typically we do discounting a couple of months before. How are we doing on that front in terms of discounting the old series right now? And when did we actually start doing, you know more tangible discounts, you know in preparation for the launch?
Okay, so that's a very good question. So I hope I'm not confusing everyone here. So what happened is in 2016, 17, so the last financial year, we actually cleared the old stock in first half and then launched the new products in second half. So you see the impact, let's say, split it between first and second half. And in this year, let's say, we have moved back to the old model where we started to discount the products after summer and then, you know, activating the new products from November, December onwards. But what was unique this year was because of the raw material, let's say, shortage, that we were completely out of stock, you know, for various products, to some extent, the Bezil products. So we are indeed launching new products, but we don't have a lot of stocks to clear in the second half. So it's going to be a full-fledged activation of the new products. That also explains, you know, why, let's say, the back order was only 800 million, because some of those back orders got canceled because the consumer just wanted to wait for the new products. But that also shows that, you know, our consumers and also retailers are more sophisticated than, let's say, investors thought. We have a very flat distribution network so that, you know, products don't get stuck in between. I mean, they're either with us or with the retailers.
Right. That's excellent news. Thank you very much.
Welcome.
先生您提问，大家好，如需提问，请在话机上按星一键等号，先生号键，但是字一。 Thank you for your question. If you would like to ask any questions, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Thank you. <音><音><音> 如需提问，请您在话机上按星一键等候，先星号键，再数字一，谢谢。 If you would like to ask any questions, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Thank you.
喂，你好，主持人。喂，有什么问题吗？啊，你好，主持人，现在会议当中没有提问者。
请需要提问的参会者可以在话机上按星一键等候，谢谢。你好，主持人，现在会议当中有一位排队的提问者，请问可以让他提问吗？请他进来，谢谢。好的，这位提问者是来自 Morgan Stanley的 Terrison Chen，您好，您可以提问了。
是，谢谢，刘总、边总啊，恭喜你们的业绩，想法不错。那可以跟您请教两个这个问题。第一个是刚刚刘总提到这个在服饰这边的业务，未来有一些这个可能有一些合作或是甚至并购的机会。那我想请教一下，就是说在公司战略上的思考上来讲的话，这个如果跟一些服饰的这个厂商合作的话。 不晓得这个公司这边的有没有进一步的这个细节可以讨论，说大概要从什么样的方面去提高到一些这个 synergy 的这个对公司的一些 benefit。那第二个问题是说，在这个第一季上半年的时候，我们看到公司的这个 operating expense control 非常非常的好。那这到进入下半年，刚刚那个边总也有提到会再往下个比较正向的方向去发展。那能不能给我们一些详细的细节说？ 在下半年的这个 operating expense 来讲的话，还有哪些部分是有机会这个在做一些 control？ 那哪些部分可能有一些这个，比如说需要像 marketing 可能需要多一些费用？那 blended 看起来的话，整个下半年的这个营业费用，我们该怎么样去做一个理解？这样子，谢谢。嗯，好的，明白。我现在回答第一上面一个问题吧，关于这个。 后面的那个后续的一个合作的，现在我们已经有一个非常明确的一个谈判的想法。对方是一个全球化的一个大的服务，对服饰有非常强大的一个集团公司。我们希望跟他的合作的方式是资本上的合作，加业务上的合作。那么具体现在没并购之前，这个公司的名字我们不便透露，是一个很大的全球级的这个大的。 一个公司，一个大的集团啊。那么我希望这一个合作会给未来的我们的非常业务带来很大的一个增长和帮助啊。大概情况是这样，嗯。好，后面第二个问题交给我回答。
好，谢谢。好，谢谢 Terence。 这个就是销售管理费用，其实我们中间是分成两块，一个是这个 selling and distribution， 还有一个就是那个管理费用。那销售费用方面大概一半的成本是那个固定成本，所以几乎是下半年就是销售如果能够达成我们刚刚提到的这个成长，那些那个后续没有就是那个 backorder 能够被 deliver 的话，我的那个下半年就是这个 selling 跟 distribution 应该会比上半年有一个明显的一个下降，就是就下半年来说。那我上半年大概是 37%， 下半年如果是能够达成我刚才说的那一些就是那个 initiative 的话，大概可以在 30% 左右。那如果是那个 administrative expense 的话，我这边如果是剔除这个上市的那个相关费用，它基本是一个固定费用。上半年唯独有增长的就是一些 R&D 的那个费用，那个持续会增长，但是它对这个销售影响不大，销售成长以后它也会有一些下降。那对于这个 administrative expense， 就是 operating 的 administrative expense， 我们的预期是下半年大概是 5% 左右。所以如果是你看全年的话，我的 SGNA 跟去年比的话，应该会有一个5个 basis points 的一个 improvement。
好，了解，非常清楚，谢谢。
感谢各位参会者的提问，今天的会议提问环节到此结束，下面时间交回给主持人，谢谢。
Okay, thank you everyone. It's been a great sharing and discussion. Now we are coming to the end of the investor presentation of Homework Golf Limited. Thank you again and let's look forward to talking to you guys next time. 谢谢大家，我们今天的 presentation 到这边就结束了，希望我们下一次发布会的时候再来交流。
好，谢谢大家。
感谢各位出席今天的会议，今天的会议到此结束，现在各位可以挂线，再见。
好，再见。